Okay, let's. Today we're going to learn Perek Yud of Netzach Yisrael. And this Perek really is focused on Netzach Yisrael. Netzach Yisrael means the eternity of the Jewish people. And what this Perek is about, more than anything else, is the issue which he is addressing is it really Netzach Yisrael? Is it really an eternal Jewish people? I mean, we go through periods where it seems like our connection, our specific special position that we have as a people, it seems very, very much at risk, very, very weak. As he expresses the question at the beginning of the Perek, we'll start, this is one of the rare times when he begins a Perek actually not with a Mamar Chazal, but with a question in this case. Kasher Adam Shemea Dvar Masher Yigiu L'Am Hashem Asher Legiu L'Shum Uma Ba'ilam. When people hear of the things that happen to God's people that never happened to any other nation in the world, V'Rayv HaTzareis Asher Bo'u Aleihem, and the many, many difficulties that the Jewish people have experienced, V'Hashiflus HaYisera Asher Hem Yerudim Ad Ofor, and the excessive shiftless lowliness that we mamish are down at the dust, v'yoyser mizeh, and sometimes lower than that. U'tahare v'machshavtecha v'ulai hu yisbarach azav aysam. So you'll think to yourself, maybe Hashem has abandoned the Jews. V'heim eilav kuma acheres chas v'sholem. And now we might be towards him like any other nation. V'yoyser pachas mizeh, maybe even less, because we suffer rejection. Because look, I mean, did any other nation have what we had in the past century? I mean, the Maharal didn't live to experience that, but he experienced many, many other things. So he says, don't let yourself even think this. Because understanding, thinking about it, no, we know that that can't be the case. And from what you see, you know that that's not the case. And also we have heard from the prophets otherwise. So he says, I'm going to give you, basically, three-pronged attack on this thought, on this idea that one could consider that somehow God's relationship with the Jews ends, has ended, could end. I'm going to show you otherwise, because first of all, intellectually, I'm going to make an argument that it can't be the case. I'm going to make an argument empirically from what we see that it can't be the case. And I'm going to make the argument based on what the Nevi'im have told us, what Moshe Rabbeinu and Shar Nevi'im have told us, that the relationship of Klal Yisrael with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is eternal, and therefore, in a great sense, fundamentally unchanging. This is going to be the central focus of this parak. Netzach Yisrael, the eternity of the Jewish people, right? That verse comes, Netzach Yisrael lo yishaker, right? The eternity of the Jewish people will not lie, meaning will not fail, will always be there. That connection is permanent. So, especially in light of what we learned last week, you remember Perek Tes was about Eicha, was about connection to Hashem and the severance of connection, about krisus, about that which one would be cut away. Right, the various elements, the components of relationship. Remember those magnificent explanations which the Maharal gave us of Eicha, the positive and the negative. So here he speaks about the fact that even when there is Yirmiyo gazing out on the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash, on the golus of the Jewish people, so we may be down, but we're not out. It's not a severance of the relationship, as much as it seems to sometimes approximate that, it's not. It's not. And let's demonstrate that. Let's now learn through this, and he's going to demonstrate. And he's going to go through it in the three prongs. Interestingly, while he sets it up as logically, empirically, and from the prophecies, he's going to then explain it as logically from the prophecies, and he's going to end with empirically. And then go on a little bit further. So let's see. Let's see what he has to say. Vizeh. So the first argument which he makes is the following, and I think it's a very, very interesting, appropriate thing. We have a guest here for the shiur, who's sitting by the bookcase, Rav Gidon Samuel, who spoke to us at Shalosh Shudas last night. He's here from Eretz Yisrael, and he directs an organization called Am Yisrael Echad. Am Yisrael Echad, the Jewish people are one. It's a beautiful organization. Maybe you could still get a flyer from him, but they do a lot of activity in the public school system in Eretz Yisrael, touching thousands of kids to make them both familiar with their Judaism and to make them respect their Judaism, with the theme of Am Yisrael Echad, one Jewish people, to break down the resentment and the barriers that exist between the religious and the secular in Eretz Yisrael.
And checks are being accepted at the end of the
year. but the beauty happens to be that the Maharal is going to be focusing his empirical argument is Am Yisrael Echad. Right now, he did not know about this program. However, his imperial argument is on the theme of Am Yisrael Echad, of Umika Amcha Yisrael Goyachad Ba'aretz. And he brings us back, really, if you recall, to one of the more subtle, sophisticated, philosophical arguments which he made, which was Perek Gimel of this very Sefer. In Perek Gimel of this Sefer, of the Sefer Netzach Yisrael, the Maharal spoke about the philosophical issue which some would have, where they say, we don't understand how it is that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if Hashem is one, how from the one God can so many different things come? Usually, the way we imagine things, the way we perceive things, right, from one comes one. Something can only create its own thing. That's the philosophical argument. It's hard sometimes to conceive of these philosophical arguments and to understand exactly what's bothering them, what the question and answer is for us who are perhaps not as well trained and used to it. So we struggled through that last time. But let's deal with the result, which is a much more clear issue, a much more clear result, which the Maharal articulated there in a magnificent form. Bereshis. Bereshis bara Elohim. In the beginning, right? Bereshis, in the beginning. So, you know, Rashi says, very interesting formulation, usually would say Barishona, right? Bereshis usually is mechubar, is connected to something else. Bereshis mamleches, in the beginning of a kingdom. It just says Bereshis, in the beginning, Bor Elohim. Could say Bereshis habriya. You know, it usually would be a connected term. So Rashi says, so it's Omer Darshuni, it's saying you should make a drasha by this slight change in how it's expressed. And it is Bishvil Reishis, for the sake of Reishis. What's Reishis? What's Reishis? So different things are referred to as Reishis. And specifically, the focus here is, what's referred to as Reishis is Yisrael. Kodesh Yisrael LaHashem Reishis Tfuaso. The verse refers to the Jewish people as the first of his crops, the first of his produce. The special sanctity that Klal Yisrael has, how they're Mekudash to Hashem. The world was created Bishvil Yisrael. And what the Maharal says is the following. The truth is that Hashem, in his creation of the world, has a single relationship, a monogamous relationship. He relates only to one thing. This is an idea which we have many places. The most famous one, which we've certainly recalled before together, is the Gemara in Brachas, where the Gemara says, on yesterday's Parsha, where Hashem shows Moshe Rabbeinu Achairai, his back. So Rashi says, Rashi brings the Gemara, what is it? He showed him the Kesher Shel Tefillin. He showed him the knot of his Tefillin. So the Gemara says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Tefillin, what does it say in Hashem's Tefillin? Our Tefillin declare, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Hashem is the one and only. In our world, Hashem is the one and only. We realize Hashem is it. What does Hashem have in his Tefillin? Umi ka'amcha Yisrael goy echad ba'aretz. Who is like your people, Israel, one nation in the land. And the Gemara goes on and explains, he has four parshias, four different places where this idea, where the Psukim express this idea about Klal Yisrael being the one nation in the earth. The one nation that Hashem has a relationship with. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, Bishvil Yisrael, for the Jewish people. Everything else is ancillary, is related, is supported. So many times Chazal tell us these things. Kol Puranos Shabbo La'olam is Bishvil Yisrael. Any difficulty which comes to the world somehow has some kind of tie-in to the Jewish people. To stimulate something, to help them, to remind them of something, whatever it is. But as Avram Avinu was told when HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose him, remember? Go from the land, from your land, from your birthplace, from everything to the land I will show you. And there are two phases to what Hashem tells him. I don't remember if we've gone over this, and if I or how recently. So you'll excuse me, right? But it's basic. Hashem says to him in one pasuk, "Ve'eschel u'goygav, I'll make you a great nation. Va'varecha, I'll bless you. Va'gadol shmecha, I'll make you famous. Ve'yebrocha, you will be a blessing." Now, you could say that. I could say that to each one of you sitting around this table. Of course, when I say it, it doesn't mean a thing, right? But HaKadosh Baruch Hu could say it to each one of us sitting around this table. I'll make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make you famous. You will be a bracha. But listen to the next pasuk. Va'avorcha mevarechecha mekalelcha or. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse those who curse you. Through you, v'nivruchu v'cha kol mishpachay sa'adama. Through you, all the nations of the world will be blessed. How many people can that be said to? I can't say that. If I would say that to Reuven and to Shimon, and then comes along Levi, and he blesses Reuven and curses Shimon, what's going to happen to Levi? Will he be blessed or cursed? You can only make one being, or one nation, the one through whom blessing and curse comes to everybody, through whom all the blessing of the world is channeled. One key point, one nexus through which the whole world is going to be somehow hooked up, connected. HaKadosh Baruch Hu went from giving Avram brachos that are just brachos that you could give to many, to making Avram Avinu the center of the universe. Says the Maharal, it's true. From one comes one. From HaKadosh Baruch Hu generated one thing. He generated Kol Yisrael. Everything else, so to speak, is commentary. Everything else is supportive, is related, is somehow around that. But there's something which is central to the world, some being, some nation that is central, central, central to the world, and that's Yisrael. That's the Jewish people. So, therefore, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu's perspective on the world is like that, you know, that, the centrality of Klal Yisrael, the Echad, He created the world for us, you know, that's a hard thing to conceive of ditching, of getting rid of. Maral goes further, just to illustrate more of the same. Chazal tell us, Va'atem ne Yisrael, Otam Atem, it's a pasuk in Yecheskel, I think. You, the Bnei Yisrael, you are Adam. Chazal say, Atem Kruyim Adam. You, the Jewish people, you are called Adam. The nations of the world are not called Adam. What does it mean they're not called Adam? So simply, the way this is understood is as follows. Hashem created a world. He created a world progressively. It moved from step to step, from phase to phase. The climax, the high point of creation was the creation of Adam, B'Tzelem Elokim, of man created in the image of God. Man created in the image of God with all that divine potential, with all that greatness. Adam B'Tzelem Elokim. And so, if that's the case, Adam B'Tzelem Elokim, so when man goes and knocks himself down, you know, by eating from the Eitz Hadas and instead seemingly following after what the snakes and what the animals have to offer, so what happens to that great Adam B'Tzelem Elokim? So indeed, man abandoned the mission. Man abandoned the mission and the role of being in Hashem's image. So, the world went into turmoil. The way we're taught, the way we understand is that what emerged from that mess was one person, one nation that said, no, we're not giving up on the level of Adam. We're not giving up on what Adam was meant to be, was destined to be. And that was Avram Avinu, who then fathered Klal Yisrael. This is the way the Ramchal expresses it, and as he describes the history of creation in the Derech Hashem. Right? When man sinned, everybody was running out of Gan Eden. Hashem sent them out of Gan Eden. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu sat and he waited and he sought who is going to be finding his way back. And it was Avram who was finding his way back. Atem Kruyim Adam. When Hashem chose the Jewish people, and the choosing of the Jewish people, at least as the standard, as the national choice, was exclusive. The choice of Avram was Achebo Avram Avinu, the Kibel Schar Kulam. He took the reward that the whole world perhaps might have had or could have had. They became the Adam. That Adam that Hashem created the world for. You're the ones who can be in the image of God. I'm going to give you the tools, the Torah, which is teaching you the way to become in the image of God, to go b'derech Hashem, right? V'alachta b'drachav, mahu afata, the vehicle to be imitating Hashem, being like Hashem, realizing and accomplishing the image of God, that's given to us, to the Bnei Yisrael. Atem kruyim Adam. So again, we became what the world was to be about. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to ditch that?
Why not? He ditched Adam and Rishon. You summed last week's parsha we ended. Okay. When did it ditch us from Moshe Rabbeinu?
Good question. So you would say, well, no, he could. He could abandon us. He could forget about us. Because he did ditch Adam and Rishon, you might say. He did suggest that he was going to ditch the Bnei Yisrael for the sake of Moshe Rabbeinu. So the thing is like this. Two parts to addressing this very, very important question. One part to addressing this important question is that he didn't ditch Adam HaRishon. What he did was, he winnowed him down. Right? Hashem didn't destroy and start again. He created the world. If, so as the Maharal writes, he says, you know, you want to start again, fine. But if your whole world is built this way, that means you have to, you know, scratch it, start again, back to the drawing board, and recreate. The world was created for Adam, and we are still Bnei Adam. Winnow down to Bnei Noach. Winnow down to Bnei Avram. Winnow down to Bnei Yitzchak, right? Not all of the Zer Avram. And Bnei Yaakov, right? We're not the children of Yishmael, we're not the children of Esav. There is a process of Zeriah, of winnowing, in order to be able to choose who's going to be the Adam Shebebriya. That happens. And in last week's Parsha, indeed, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu was saying, you know what, the Jewish people did the Egel, let me get rid of them, and instead, I'm going to make you into a great nation. So what happened? So he said, I will fulfill my promise through you. I fulfill my promise through you. In other words, you're a child of Avram, you're a child of Yitzchak, you're a child of Yaakov. So we'll peel away all the rest. We'll destroy that nation and we'll start again. So in some way, it would still be a fulfillment. However, you will say to me, accurately and properly, hold on, you can't say that. Then you could still say, Hashem abandoned the Jewish people. There's one Jew someplace that's living it up, that Hashem is taking, I mean, probably not living it up physically just, but spiritually. Hashem's taking care of him, and he is the incubator for a new Jewish people. But the rest of us, Lo'aleinu, finished, right? You'll say, okay, so maybe Hashem will winnow again. He won't abandon the whole thing. He'll winnow again. So the Maharal does not address this here. He does not address this here, but let's address it together based on what we know, based on what we've learned also in other Kisvei HaMaharal and what's very, very important picture here. Indeed, that was what HaKadosh Baruch Hu suggested to Moshe Rabbeinu. That's what he would do. And Moshe Rabbeinu refused it. Moshe Rabbeinu argued the bris of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. What Moshe Rabbeinu was arguing was that you cannot destroy the nation that was developed from the Jewish people. Any destruction that would happen, right, at the Egel, really nothing ended up happening that way. There was a change to some degree of relationship. Certain things changed, but it was fundamentally the same. Even at the Meraglim, where Hashem to some degree said it again, right? The idea would be that there wouldn't be a national destruction at once. There would be, you know, they died out over time, and then they would be regenerated. Hashem proposed it to be full disclosure. Hashem proposed it, but again, using the same methodology, that would remain. And the idea is that you can't have a destruction of the nation of the Jewish people. Bris Avos of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov says, even if you're going to salvage something, you can't have a destruction of the nation of the Jewish people. That will not be able to exist. That will not be able to happen. Not just that I won't exchange you for somebody else, we'll try somebody else, try a new people, but not even that we won't winnow them down completely. And well, Mi'et Hashem, we're going to deal with this a little bit more as we go along, as we proceed later in this sefer. But even that, to a great degree, would constitute a suspension of the process. Yisrael as it is, Yisrael as it is a nation that's connected to Hashem Yisbarach. And for Hashem to wipe the slate clean and to start again with Moshe Rabbeinu, we wouldn't quite yet be a nation. Listen to what the Maharal says, an akuda, a point that he makes within explaining this process. He says like this: the truth is, when did Klal Yisrael become a nation? We became a nation as we were being pulled out of Mitzrayim. The pasuk says, "Ayanisa Elokim lo kachas lavoi lo kachas loygoy mikerav goy." That Hashem ever go and demonstrate to pull a nation from inside another nation. Say Chazal, famous metaphor, that it was like an ubar, like a fetus, inside its mother. And when HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim, it was like he was drawing the fetus out of its mother. The beginnings of the Jewish nation came out from Mitzrayim, from Yetzias Mitzrayim. Says the Maharal, the Jewish nation, wait, we went down, we were people, we were individuals. In small numbers they went down to Mitzrayim. But then in Mitzrayim we coalesced somehow. We came a people when HaKadosh Baruch Hu drew us out. And when he drew us out originally, it was as his people. In other words, it's one thing if you'll say there was such a thing as a Jewish nation without God, without its relationship with God. Then they got it. So you could say, easy come, easy go. But Hashem forged us as a nation. In Mitzrayim, we weren't a nation. In Mitzrayim, we were absorbed, right? An Eved over here, an Eved over there. We were subordinate. We had no independence. We became a nation as Hashem put His name upon us, through the Makos, through the miracles, through Mamad Har Sinai. It all came together with the creation of the Jewish people. So there was never a Jewish people, a Jewish nation, that was not intricately and completely associated with Hashem. So it can't be. So you understand that this form of the argument is, okay, will Hashem, heaven forbid, destroy the Jewish people and start again? You know, your argument from Moshe Rabbeinu? So there we could say, okay, it could be. Hashem proposed it at the Egel. He proposed it again at the Meraglim. But as we said, there will be something left of the Jewish people. Is there something, however, as the Jewish people existing? I mean, we do exist. That's not a subject of debate. We do exist. Is there something, a thing as a Jewish people that exists without a relationship to Hashem? When HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I created the whole world to have this relationship with the Jewish people, you want to think about redefining who the Jewish people are? Fine. Okay? Possibility. Right? By cutting them down, by destroying, and leaving only a little bit. But when the Jewish people exist, right, we're the Tachlis. Hashem would have to destroy and recreate in order for it to be able to talk about something else. The Jewish people came into existence as a nation connected to Hashem, and the Jewish people will maintain, therefore, always. We will always exist as a nation in the presence connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the argument of Das. That's the argument of intellect which the Maharal makes. Again, let's review it so we can get it clear. It's not the simplest argument in the world. First, he says that the idea is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world for the sake of Klal Yisrael. The whole world revolved around this as the ultimate creation. Yes, maybe there was a process to get there, where Avram Avinu became the one who took Schar Kulam, who became Atem Kriyim Adam, the man, the climax of the Bria. But that's what it became. It became HaKadosh Baruch Hu made us Adam. Right? When Har Sinai, HaKadosh Baruch Hu came down on Har Sinai, we say it's called Har Chorev. Says the Gemara, why is it called Har Chorev? Because Shemisham Yorad Churban Li'olam. Because when Hashem cemented the choice at Har Sinai, there was a certain destruction which came to the rest of the world because we became front and center. Remember what I told you, what Rabbi Meisher Shapiro says, what Rabbi Hartman brings as well in the footnotes from him, that the word bochar, choose, is the same letter as the word chorav, right? Destroyed, because when Hashem choose, when you choose one, you are to some degree discarding the rest. on some level. Of course, we still have the V'alkein Kava where we want them to be included. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want to see them go down the drain. He wants them to see them attached, hitching up their wagon to the B'nai Yisrael to be able to go that way. However,
it's the kin and the sinner.
Hmm?
The kin and the sinner came in with the sinner.
Right, right. That's the root of anti-Semitism. There's nothing to talk about. We show me the Sina Loilam. That's Sinai. Right from that's where the hatred came. Now this is the argument of Das that he is making, that we have to understand that when HaKadosh Baruch, when the whole world is created oriented around the Jewish people, you can't just forget about that. You can't just discard that. And what he's, the second piece to that argument is that since the B'nai Yisrael are the only existence that we ever knew was as the Am Hashem, Hashem drew us out of Mitzrayim, created us into people as the people connected to Hashem, so then where do we come to exist without it? So that's the argument of Das which he makes. Okay, so some of you look more convinced than others. So we have to go to the next stage, which is the Nevi'im, the way he defines it as the next stage. The next stage is the words of the Nevi'im, right? Start if you're looking on, right? So he says, he starts on the very bottom of Reish Nun Hei in the Hartman edition, Noisav al Zeh Kach, Harei Nevi'im Kulam Pe'echad, Kilo Oz V'Hashem Yisbarach Es Yisrael. All the Nevi'im spoke unanimously that Hashem did not abandon the Jewish people. And the pasuk which he chooses to use is the pasuk of Yirmiyahu. Yirmiyahu says, Perek Lamed Aleph, Koy Amar Hashem, Nesein Shemesh Lo'or Yoimam, Chukos Yoreach V'Kechavim Lo'or Laila. Hashem gave the sun to shine during the day, and the moon and the stars for the nighttime. Ro'ega Hayom V'yehemu Galov, Hashem Tzvakoy Shemoy. Hashem calms the seas even as its waves move. Hashem is his name. Im Yamushu HaChukim Eilu Milfanai. Will this change? Will night and day change? Will the sea and its waves change? Gam Zera Yisrael Yishbasu Miyayiz Goy Lefanai Kol Hayamim. If that'll change, so then the Jewish people won't be a nation before me all of the days. He's saying, the world doesn't change, the relationship of the Jewish people with me doesn't change. Those are the words of Yirmiyahu. Yirmiyahu, the prophet of doom, right? The prophet of the Churban. Yirmiyahu, the author of Eicha. Ani Agever Ra'ani. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the same way the world keeps on going, my relationship with the Jewish people keeps on going. So if you don't like the logical arguments, philosophical arguments, you think you can find a hole in those, well, how about our belief in the words of the prophets, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, it ain't changing. Nothing will change. And Maral explains this specific pasuk so beautifully. Why does Hashem choose this? Why doesn't he say, like you have in other places, you know, that the mountains don't move? Right? The mountains won't move, so likewise, my kindness won't leave you forever. Right? We have that. What's the specific metaphor here? As the sun will shine and the moon will rule at night, says the Maral. Because, you know, there's a constant metaphor which Chazal use between times of Golus and times of Geula. And that is day and night. Daytime, the sun is shining bright. The times of Geula are compared to that, to the daytime where the sun is shining bright and strong, where the B'nai Yisrael are active and alive, and their relationship with Hashem is visible to the nations of the world. And then there is nighttime, the times of Golus, when it's difficult, when it's not visible, when we don't see the presence of Hashem. Right? What do we say? Lahagid ba'boker chazdecha v'emunascha ba'leilos. In the morning we speak of your kindness, your vivid, visible kindness. At night we speak of your faith. We don't know. We don't know. We don't feel. We don't experience. But we have faith. We know that Hashem is there, even though it's hidden. Says Yirmiyahu Anavi, just as in my world. There will always be day and there will always be night. The Jewish people are always before me. Sometimes in daytime, the historical periods of day, and sometimes in the historical periods of night. Sometimes in the visible ways and sometimes in the less visible ways. But always there. Always there. And, of course, even the second metaphor, you say, okay, so now tell me, explain to me the sea and the waves, right? But Chazal, the Maral points out, always compare the waves of the ocean to the Umay Sa'ilam, to the nations of the world. And they compare Kal Yisrael to the Chayil, Asher Asfas Hayam, to the sand that's on the edge of the sea, that holds those vicious, ferocious, loud, I mean, you just go to the ocean, you listen to the power of the ocean, and that sand, that beach, just holds it in place. It holds it in place. And Kal Yisrael is compared to Chayil Asher Asfas Hayam. So that's again the metaphor, even as the nations thunder. But still, Kal Yisrael's Lefanai. Kal Yisrael somehow is holding their own and holding it in to be able to go on. Now that's one selection, one prophecy, one pasuk of Yirmiyahu, obviously a well-chosen one that the Maral is using over here. However, on the other hand, we have many other aspects here, many other considerations. Excuse me. There's so many psukim and so many places where this idea is indeed expressed. I just want to remind you, we don't have time to discuss it at length, but in the Be'er HaGoyla, we learned one specific source. In the Be'er HaShlishi, in the third section of the Be'er HaGoyla, remember what the Maral was dealing with over there was, you're always dealing with what are the Chachamim doing, the difficult to understand words of Chachamim. So he brought, when Chazal interpret psukim, right there he's dealing with Chazal interpret psukim in ways which seem to be very far away from what the pasuk is saying. So there, maybe it's the second section of the Be'er HaShlishi, somewhere around there, the beginning section, he deals with what's the Haftorah of Parshas Ekev, where Klal Yisrael says exactly the question which is the subject matter of this issue, of this perek. V'tomer Tzion azavani Hashem, Hashem shechani. Tzion says, Hashem has abandoned me. Hashem has forgotten me. Right? That's exactly what he's dealing with. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds and he says, Hatishkach isho ulo meirachem ben bitna. Can a woman forget her infant? Can she forget to have compassion and love for that which is born from her womb? She won't. Gamela tishkachna v'anoichi le'yashkachich. Even if these would be forgotten, but I won't forget you. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu says. Chazal darshan, and they say, what's Eile? Is Eile Elokecha Yisrael. The Egel. Chal Yisrael says, Oy Rabbeinu Shel Olam, if you remember, you say you'll remember us, you'll remember us. Uh-oh, that means you'll remember the Egel too. Hashem, that's not so good. Hashem says, I'll forget the Egel. Uh-oh, so you're forgetful. Maybe you'll forget that we said Nasev and Ishma. You'll forget Anoichi, Anoichi Hashem Elokecha, the Mamar Sinai, Lo Yashkachech, that I won't forget. Right? Selective memory. Delicious. Right? So what is it, you know, in our favor? Zochur Latoiv. What does this mean? What kind of a drush is this? Come, Eile Tishkachna, Anoichi Lo Yashkachech. And says the Maral, explains, and it's very much the echoing of this theme. The echoing of this theme, he says, a woman, right, she has such a connection with her child, she won't forget her. Right? Kodesh Baruch Hu says, but me even more so. Why? Because the woman with her child, so a woman potentially could have another one. Right? Now we know from experience that Leila Rahman San, a woman who loses a child, will never, I mean, she Be'ezus Hashem will function normally, but she will never lose that whole of that child. As the Pasuk says, right? Tishkach isha ula. Will a woman be able to forget her child? She won't be able to. But even if she, quote-unquote, would, or even if she'd be able to resume functioning as a human being, is because there are other things. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I can't forget you because there's nothing else. There's nothing else. Bishvil Yisrael. All my eggs are in your basket. That's where Darshan at Pasuk, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is affirming, right? The Nevuah. Hashem is right. There's nothing else. There's nothing else. Aye, but we did the Egel. Right? You were gonna Gam Eile Tishkachna. I can forget that. I can forget Eile Lekecha Yisrael. And as we read in last week's Parsha, that was Moshe Rabbeinu's accomplishment. Moshe Rabbeinu's accomplishment in his prayers with Hashem was not just that he forgive the Jewish people, But Hashem should make a commitment. Niflinu anivam chamikol am asher al pnei adamah. Says Rashi, what? That you will never establish a relationship with anybody else. The way I like to say it is like this. A man and woman, husband and wife, are marooned on a desert island. Okay? Not with Gilligan, not with the skipper, not with whoever else, right? We won't mention over here, right? Excuse me for one moment, okay? I'm sorry. I just keep getting calmness. Hello? Hi. I'm in the middle of a shir. Is it an emergency? Okay, bye-bye. I'll call you when I can. Bye-bye. Okay. So the two people that are on, they're on the professor also. So the two people are on the desert island, right? Husband and wife, only two people there, right? They already ran out of flares. They ran out of white handkerchiefs. They're there. They're stuck there. Now it's just the two of them. They can get on their nerves once in a while, right? On each other's nerves once in a while. Let me ask you a question. What's the likelihood that they're going to get divorced?
No lawyers.
They will find them. Right? What's the likelihood that they're going to get divorced? They're not going to get divorced because no options. Right? It's just them. The same two people, right, with lesser issues, if they think, you know what, okay, no, give up on this, maybe we'll be able to try something else. There's no choice. So then you have to learn how to forgive. You have to learn how to be able to, you know, get past things and work things out, because there's no choice. There is absolutely no choice. That's why we say, when we speak about creating the bond, Erastich li la'olam. Right? I bond you to me, I betroth you to me forever. In other words, we don't contemplate anything else. That way, we're going to learn how to figure it out. And just to tell you, I've shared with some of you before, but it's a beautiful, beautiful thing. From yesterday, we got the period of tshuva, right? Elul and the Aseret Yemei Tshuva correspond to the last 40 days that Moshe Rabbeinu was on Har Sinai, culminating in Hashem forgiving the Jewish people and giving back the second Luchos. I have a question. 40 days from Shavuos till Shivas Arba Tammuz, Hashem was teaching the Torah to the Jewish people. Shivas Arba Tammuz, Moshe Rabbeinu came down, the Jewish people had done the Aveira, and Moshe smashed the Luchos. He went back up on the 18th of Tammuz to get forgiveness for the Jewish people. And after 40 days, Hashem said, okay, go, bring me two more stones, and we'll talk. Okay? That was what happened. And then, for the last 40 days, they built, Salachti Kivarecha. So if I'm asking you, you are in charge of defining the Jewish calendar. You have people, a whole year, we make mistakes, we sin, we fail. There are going to be 40 days of tshuva. Let's look in history and find the 40 days of tshuva. Which 40 days would you make Elul? I would make, for sure, from 18th of Tammuz till Rosh Chodesh Elul. 17th of Tammuz they sinned. 18th of Tammuz, Moshe Rabbeinu goes and gets the commitment to clemency. And Hashem says, I'll work with you on it. So why not? Is it because there's no way you could sell a high holiday seats before Labor Day?
On vacation.
What's the pshat? So the thing is that what happened was that what Moshe Rabbeinu accomplished in the first 40 days was that Hashem, who was infuriated, and to some degree, the way he said already to just forget the whole thing, he said, okay, I'm not going to forget the whole thing. We're committed. I'm not going to exchange you for any other nation. And now, within that framework, let's work this out. And every year, when we do tshuva, that's the framework in which we do it. We don't do it in the framework of Yud-Chesed Tammuz. The framework of Yud-Zayin Tammuz is the potential destruction of the whole thing. The framework of Rosh Chodesh Elul is, okay, we're going to work it out, now let's work it out. It's a whole different mindset. You know, you're not sure if you're going to, Le'olein Rachman Al-San, break up. That's one kind of conciliation. The other one is, there's no breakup happening. Let's make this whole, let's fix the things which we've done. That's where we're holding. That's where we're up to. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Gam Eila Tishkachna, I reject the Egel. V'anoichi lo yashkachech. Har Sinai, I won't forget. Now we're going to come back to this again. We're storing up. We're going to come back. One more thing. We first just have to go with the empirical, the final element, which is the empirical. And the empirical is what was said by... Go ahead, you name him. Any analyst or writer of history?
Mark Twain.
Mark Twain, right? The Romans, right? Everyone, they've all come, they've all gone, excuse me, I have a brother-in-law who learned it off by heart. The whole thing is such a remarkable essay, right? But everything comes and goes. Klal Yisrael, Netzach Yisrael lo yishaker. I mean, you don't have to be some kind of creative genius to come up with this, right? The fact that the Jewish people are still around, to some degree, speaks for itself a little bit. Hashem said at the end of the rebuke of B'chukaisai, which we read right before Shavuos, Matan Torah, and with all of this, with all their failings, as they were in the lands of our enemies, I have not disdained them, I have not rejected them to destroy them, to break my covenant with them, because I am Hashem, their God. And Chazal, so poignantly, the Gemara Megillah says, okay, each step, Lo Ma'astim, not in the days of Bavel, Nagaltim, not in the days of Purim, not in the days of Yavan, not in the days of Edom. Every step he describes, look what we have been through. Now, by this point in history, we wouldn't have a pasuk which is long enough. Not in the days of the Crusades, not in the days of the beginning of Christianity, not in the days of the Chmelnytsky massacres and of the pogroms, not in the days of the Holocaust, not in the days of Islamic fundamentalism and extremism, not in the 48 war, not in the 67 war, not in the 73 war. It speaks for itself, empirically. So whether you're going to go for the philosophical argument, Hashem created the world b'shul Yisrael, you can't ditch that. Whether you're going to go for the fact that our Nevi'im have promised us time after time, or whether you're going to be a guy who's going to look at history and say, there's something to this Jewish people. I want to just give you a maramokim, a reference. You should try to get a hold of it. I read this article. I happen to like this person's writing generally because he's so. I find him very thoughtful, methodological. Sometimes I agree with him. Sometimes I don't agree with him. There's a fellow, a Jew named Norman Potteritz, right? He was the editor for millennia of Commentary magazine, a neocon, right? And he's a very talented writer, very thoughtful person. Continues to be so in his old age. But that's the way he writes, thoughtfully, arguing methodologically. Sometimes you agree with him, sometimes I agree with him, sometimes I don't agree with him. I always enjoy reading him. Potteritz, P-O-D-H-O-R-E-T-Z. He wrote, last summer, I believe, an article about Yerushalayim. Right? In this flurry of Lo'aleinu discussion about Yerushalayim. And he writes the article, and three-quarters of the article, or a good part of the article, he's writing, you know, arguments this way from Yerushalayim. In the end, he writes as a person of faith. He says, just look at what happened. Read it. I'm telling you. In Commentary magazine from the summer. I'm sure you can find it online someplace or whatever it is. It's worth reading. It's just like, and you know, from a man who's, you know, whatever. You know, he's a fine person, a traditional Jew on some level. You know, not just, it's beautiful, beautiful. Oh. The person going from the world of political argumentation to just the world of emotional faith. It's something to see, and that's, you know, that's just the empirical. It's not quoting Nevi'im. It's not saying we mention Yerushalayim. I mean, maybe he says that we mention Yerushalayim in our prayers all the time. You know, there's more to it than that. Okay. I want to just mention one point in conclusion, which is the final point, which is going to be sort of ma'aseif l'chol ha-machanos, pick up a little bit on some of the things that we alluded to deal with before. Klal Yisrael cannot be separated from Hashem. Witness the fact that Hashem has wrapped up his fate in this world with the fate of Klal Yisrael. In other words, going beyond the fact that Hashem created the world for the sake of Klal Yisrael. So if he wanted to have him get rid of Klal Yisrael, he'd have to get rid of the world. He promised. You see that they're standing. Says Maral, the underlying thing is HaKadosh Baruch Hu created this world for his presence to come into this world. And Klal Yisrael is the vehicle of that. He brings a medrash. He brings a medrash Yerushalmi in Tainus, where it says, "Shatav Hakadosh Baruch Hu Shmoi BeYisrael." Hashem wrapped His name in the name of the Jewish people. Yisrael. Hakadosh Baruch Hu wrapped His name in the name of the Jewish people. So he says, "You know what this is compared to? It's compared to a king who had a mafteach paltrington. He had a big palace, and the big palace had a little key, a little tiny key. And without the key, you couldn't get into the palace." Okay, there's no locksmith. There's nothing else. This is one of those Israeli locks, okay? Rav Bariach, right? Without the key, you cannot get in. You cannot get into the palace. It's a little tiny key. Oy vey. What happens if I lose this key? So what did the king do? You thought you were the only one who thought of this. The king made a chain to hold the key around his neck. So it wouldn't just be a little key. You know, you see sometimes people, right, especially women with these huge things around their keychain, right? You don't want to lose your key, right? Right? You know, big thing, right? You don't want to lose it. So he makes a chain to attach to them. Says the Yerushalmi, Kach amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, Im ani meniach es bnei Yisrael hareimim avudim bein ha'umais. If I leave the Jewish people, they're going to be lost in the world. Whether, as the Maral says, whether they'll be destroyed because people don't like them, or whether they'll simply be batel bereiv. I mean, we're just going to be plain outnumbered. Forget if they don't want to destroy us, but where will we count? So Hashem said, let me attach a chain. And the chain is the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If Hashem's name is attached to the Jewish people, that ties them up with Him. And it leaves us to exist and to be distinct. Says the Maharal, it's the key to the palace. The king can't get into the palace without the key. HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't get into this world without Klal Yisrael. We find this, right, the Psukim, where we say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, oh, I'm going to destroy, and Yeshua says, you're going to destroy. Klal Yisrael says, by Melchemes Ayin, where things are turning back, U'matasa l'shimcha gadol. Rabban Hashem, if the Jewish people disappear, what's going to be with you? What did Moshe Rabbeinu argue yesterday in the Parsha? Oh, remember the covenant you made with Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, but also, what's going to happen? Klal Yisrael is going to be destroyed. The nations of the world will say, oh, this Hashem that we saw in Mitzrayim, boom, lost. We daven at the end of every Shemana Esrei, we say, Asei Leman Shemecha, Kodesh Baruch Hu, do it for the sake of your name. You know, you bound yourself up with us. You've thrown in your lot with us. You can't let us go. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's fate is bound up with the Jewish people. Everyone has a chance. Learn the Ramban in Parshas Hazinu on the Pasuk, Amarti Afehem Ashbiso Me'anoi Zichrom. Fundamental Ramban, where he writes this, Hashem says, I would be ready to blow at them, get rid of them. But what can I do? The nations of the world, what will they say? They'll say, oh, they got rid of the Jews. Says the Ramban, Hashem said, my future is your future. Your future is my future. My fate is inextricably tied up with yours. My success in this world, the existence of Kiddush Hashem, is v'nigdashti v'seich b'nei Yisrael. It's only through the Jewish people. So I can't. And that's what it means Hashem put His name on us. He says, yeah, Hashem put His name in Yishmael's name. Yeah, but that means that Hashem will, to some degree, listen to Yishmael. Yisrael, the name Yisrael means, it's the name of glory, of mastery. Not of listening, okay, I'll indulge you. It's Yisrael, the Tsar, the princeliness, the royalty of HaKadosh Baruch in this world is through Klal Yisrael. So I want to just bring a couple of things here in order to be able to to wrap this. Things from the Maral, things from our own. The Maral says a beautiful, he speaks here about V'atim ha'veikim Hashem alikim, when you're attached to Hashem, chayim kulchem hayoyim, right? We say that. Those who are attached to Hashem live, you're alive today. Can't disappear if you're attached to Hashem, who's the Makor HaChaim, who's the source of life. The Maral says, every Malach is Rafael, Michael, Gabriel, Uriel, because they're forever, right? They're wrapped up with Hashem, so therefore you're forever. You can't lose. You can't cease to exist. Eliyahu Hanavi, Eliyahu Hanavi, right? We know Eliyahu Hanavi didn't die. He went up to this world. Eliyahu, his name, then El was in his name. Yisrael is eternal. Yisrael can't be lost because the name of Hashem is attached to them. It's attached to them. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I'm you, you're me. You know, it's like I can't, you can't disappear. And I think, and this goes back to a couple of the things that we've discussed, including the idea of wiping away the nation and starting again. The name Yisrael came to the Jewish people at Yaakov Avinu, right? What was Yaakov Avinu's chiddush? What did Yaakov Avinu add, so to speak, to the realm of things? Chazal tell us, Yaakov Avinu mitasei shleima. Avraham Avinu had a child that left. Yishmael, Yitzchak had a child that left Esav. Yaakov, mitasei shleima, every one of his children remained part of the Jewish people. Neither to give up their faith, Yisrael, afal pishachata Yisrael, right, as Rav Huttner said, beautiful, famous maimer, that Avram is the Ershta Gevoriner, Avram was the first person to become a Jew, Yitzchak is the Ershta Gebeiriner, Yitzchak was the first one to be born a Jew, and Yaakov is the Ershta Farfalliner. Yaakov is the first one to be a Jew, no matter what. Can't give it up, can't lose it. What's the expression? Yisrael, afal pishachata Yisrael hu. From then on, a Jew, Jews sin. Jews sin. But even if a Jew sins, he remains a Yisrael. You can't give it up. You can't be lost from the Jewish people. Yisrael. That was Yaakov's chiddush. That was how Yaakov got the name Yisrael. Right? He got it with the fight with the Malach in Deirei Shel Shmad. Remember that fight with the angel which represents the periods when the nations will try to separate the Jewish people from their faith. We might be hobbled, but in the end, we win and we get healed. You get the name Yisrael. We don't lose. And it's not just the nation Israel will continue to go on. But no destruction, no loss of the Jewish people. Any Jew who exists remains part of the Jewish people. As far as away as he may stray, the name Yisrael, the identification with Hashem, it can't disappear. And we will conclude with the words of the Maral, "Anvanoichi lo yashkachech." Remember, I brought to you what he said in the Ber Hagayla? Oh, the Egel I'll forget, Anoichi I won't forget. Says the Maral, Yisrael Gadol, which we've discussed at different times. So, Anoichi Hashem Elokecha, I am Hashem your God. Is that a mitzvah? A big debate amongst the Rishonim. Is it a mitzvah? Mitzvahs usually tell you to do something. Do not have other gods. Right? Keep the Shabbos. I am Hashem your God? That sounds like a statement. It sounds like, okay, it's a premise for the rest of your mitzvahs. I am Hashem your God. Now let me tell you what to do. Is it a mitzvah? So the Rambam, and many Rishonim count it as a mitzvah. Others don't count it as a mitzvah. However, it's a mitzvah that's said not as an instruction, as a statement of fact. Anoichi Hashem Elokecha is, I am Hashem your God, who took you out of Mitzrayim. When I took you out of Mitzrayim, I became your God. Stuck. S-T-U-C-K. Stuck. I am Hashem your God. This is not something one day you'll do it, one day you won't do it. I am Hashem your God. At Har Sinai, what happened at Har Sinai became indelible. The experience at Har Sinai became indelible. Sometimes we do more, sometimes we do less. Some of us do more, some of us do less. Some of us don't do anything. But in there, you know that Pintalayid we like to write songs about? The Pintalayid is Anoichi Hashem Elokecha. That can't be forgotten. It's indelible. That's Yisrael Afal Pishachata Yisrael Hu. That's Netach Yisrael Lo Yishaker. So it's true. How could Hashem abandon us? The whole world was for us. It's true the Nevi'im promised time and time again, Hashem will never abandon us. It's true empirically. We look at the world and we say Hashem's never abandoned us. I mean, whatever, we're still around. How does that work? Why is that? Because Hashem linked his fate to ours. And therefore, as much as Hashem won't abandon himself, he's not going to abandon us. But all the vitality of the connection to Hashem, we nurse from, we borrow from, we are sustained by. And therefore, Netzach Yisrael. Netzach Yisrael lo yishaker. Always there, and it will absolutely, positively, always, always be there. We should see it from Laila to Yom, the Karev Yomein.